to our pulpit, the Reverend Anthony DiNerno from our church in Barrie Free Presbyterian Church. We're happy that he's here to bring the word to us, and for those who are not familiar with him, he's certainly well known to most of us, but for those who are watching online perhaps, our brother was a member of our church for many, many years, and went down to Fredericton to take up the work there, and then until the Lord called him to Barrie, and he's been there preaching ever since. And you'll remember his son Frank was with us in January at our baptismal service. He was baptized and gave a word of testimony, and he testified of how the Lord is leading him into full-time ministry. Well, I asked her brother tonight, I said, who's covering the pulpit in Barrie tonight? Well, Frank is, and he's been thrown in the deep end. So we remember him tonight as he preaches there, but we're happy our brother's here, and we'll ask him to come now and bring the word.
Good evening, everyone. And yes, my thoughts are in Barrie because Frankie is preaching, and it's not that I threw him in the deep end. I had no one to call upon suddenly to preach, and he knew about that, and he says, well, I'll do it. I says, you what? He says, I'll take the service. And so my thoughts are there. He's a little bit different than me. He's certainly not like me. I fought against my call. I fought tooth and nail. I was sort of like dragged into it, but not him. He's a lot different than me. And you can call it, he's not really, like he doesn't blow his own horn or anything, but he's got tremendous confidence. And we spend some time in prayer. I never imagined that we would do that, but we did. And it came from him. And he told the Lord that, Lord, he says, if you're calling me to preach, he says, I want to accomplish something. I just don't want to occupy a pulpit. I want to accomplish something. And so there's something there that he has, and he feels that he has some work to do. Now, we all, of course, preachers feel that we have a work to do. Sometimes it's not what we think, but he feels that the Lord has a work for him to do, and therefore he's applying there to the ministry. And just remember him, because everything in the presbytery and making decisions at this time because of the seminary. There's not too many people there not too many people left really to teach in the seminary. So everything's up in the air. So you can pray for the situation and pray that the Lord will guide them. This is my home church. I came to this church, a church in Warden there in 1982. And I love this church from the very beginning, and I still do love this church, and we do have a lot of memories, and I was called to the ministry myself through two sermons preached by Frank McClelland, Dr. Frank McClelland, and ever since then the Lord has his hand upon me and took me into the ministry. Now, I'm not like those, of course, that have tremendous talent, but I'm just one of those that was called at the, you can say in due time, never expected it. My father's a construction worker. At least my son can say, well, my father was a minister, therefore I'm ministering. And so it's a little bit easier for him. But for me, it was a little bit difficult in the beginning. But praise God, the Lord takes us through. I just turned 59. And I did receive some papers there. I was reminded by the government, well, you better get ready for pension here. And then I looked at the amount that they're going to give me. I says, you know what, I better work a little bit longer here because I'm not going to make it through with this kind of money coming in. And so I've been reminded that where has time gone? Where has it gone? It just seems to be going very quickly. And even in these days where we're living in perilous times, and time simply doesn't stop. It just continues to go forward. We're going to turn this evening to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. There is a verse which I'd like to leave before you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in verse 38 of Acts chapter 10, verse number 38. And it says here, this is Peter speaking, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to look at those words, who went about doing good. The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice that we do have the very word of the living God. We thank thee, our Father, that we don't have to doubt this is not God's word. But we do know, our Father, not only because the Holy Ghost has confirmed it to our very souls, but because it is none other than the word of the living God. We thank thee that thou hast not left us in the dark, but thou hast given us thy word. We rejoice that we're able to know how this world came to being. We thank thee, our Father, we're able to know the very purpose of man and why man was created. And we thank thee, our Father, we thank thee especially because we're able to know that there is a way back to God. There is a heaven. There is a heaven to gain. And so, our Father, we do rejoice that thou hast granted us thy word indeed. Be with us this evening, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times when we hear of some of these great men, we are often curious and often interested to know all about these men, how they lived and what they did. And we turn many times to books in the days, of course, which we're living in now. Well, we turn to the internet, we punch in a name, and there you go, and you have all the information about these great men of the world. We like to know if they were married. We look at them up, if they had children, the age in which they lived in, and what really made these people so famous in this world. For example, Michelangelo, it was his paintings, it was his sculptures that made him a name in history. Christopher Columbus, I'm just naming you a few general people that we should know. It was his expeditions, especially the discovery of America. Then you have men like Benjamin Franklin, and it was the discovery of the light bulb. Then we have military men, all kinds of military men. We have those of ancient time, Alexander the Great and the Caesars, and then you have the wars in Europe with Napoleon and so forth. And these men were very famous men because of their conquests. They made the history books. And there are people that are studied even in schools. Now, some of these men were driven by ambition. Some of these men were very aggressive men, and we cannot be sure of their real intentions. What intentions did they have as they became famous or well known? Was it power that they sought after? Was it wealth? Was it admiration from the world or some other motive? Anyhow, whatever their real intentions were, they left a mark upon this world, and some of them changed the very course of time. However, there is one who had appeared on this earth whose only object was to do good, and he did only good. That was his intention, no doubt, one who could not help, as we read his history here in this book, one who could not help but to do good to those here upon this earth. Whatever he did, wherever he went, we read of his history here, he diffused the richest blessings upon mankind. And this God-man, of course, was Jesus of Nazareth. And the Apostle Paul, he testifies here in our text that he went about doing good. Now, I'm not here this evening to compare Christ with some of these great men that I mentioned earlier on, or the men of this world, because there is no comparison. There's no comparison to be made, because the mighty men of this world are absolutely nothing. They are nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, because one is immortal, and the one is mortal. And so you cannot compare. You cannot even begin to compare. Now, as all ordinary men have their callings, well, so did the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his own calling. It was none of these those occupations by which the gains of this world are acquired. His was a holy business. It was strictly a holy business of doing good. He came down from heaven simply to do good. He was not like a Pharisee to make show of his goodness. He was not like the Romans that would parade in their military heroism. He was not like the Greeks to display worldly wit and wisdom. He truly was sincere. The Word of God tells us that he was sincere, and he went about doing good in the true sense of the word. He dispensed. He dispensed good wherever he went, and he did good because he himself, The Bible says only was good. He went about literally through life, through the country, among the people, doing good. Not merely doing right, but doing favors, showing mercy and grace to those, to the multitude. And it is all recorded, you see, in this book. You want to know history about certain men? We look to the history books, but here we have God's own testimony, God's own word, scripture to tell the history here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this evening, I just want to talk to you of the goodness of Christ and the way he went about doing good as we see him here in our text, or at least as he's portrayed here in our text. The first thing is that he's good in his creation. Let us not forget who the Lord Jesus Christ is, because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. We read that in Colossians chapter 1, where it does tell us there, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so here, though born into the world as a little infant, after the world had existed 4,000 years, he, the creator, the preserver, and the end of all things, he formed all visible things and invisible things. And what was the cause of all this? What was the cause that he made anything? Well, we have to go back to his goodness. It was all of his goodness. His goodness is especially manifested there in the creation of man. He raised him from the dust by his almighty power and placed him above the rest of all his creation. You know the story there in the book of Genesis there. He made the visible things such as the souls of men, and he made the invisible things as the souls of men, but also he created the visible body of men. And he made man after his own image, the Bible says, and he gave him dominion over the works of his hands. Put him in the garden. You know the story, how that he supplied every need for man, and he was able to enjoy himself there in that paradise of God. And so this is God's goodness. This is God's goodness, which is common to all creatures. The psalmist says, God is good to all. But our text this evening talks about this man, this God-man, going about doing good to others. This is what it's talking about, our text. When he was here on earth 2,000 years ago, whatever it was there around that time, and the Bible says that he went about doing good. And we have the history here of him doing good. And our text also speaks of his condescension here because the Son of God came down from heaven. And he visited this earth to benefit mankind, to benefit his own creatures. And not only that, but the very poorest of people, the very poorest of men, the most miserable among mankind, the most underprivileged, well, we can call them the nobodies of this world. The nobodies of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do good. Those with all kinds of disorders, we read here, the Bible says that he went about doing good to such. Christ, you see, who is the mightiest and the greatest of all, he gave all liberty to come to him with all their disorders, and those that did come to him, they received from his good hand. Now, you couldn't go to any of these famous men that we have today. You certainly couldn't do that. You couldn't approach them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, in his time, he was approachable. And he allowed them to come close to him to the point where they could actually touch him. They were able to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. And he attended personally. As we read in Scripture, we're talking here about his history, you see. He attended personally to their needs. not even their depravity. You look at some of these characteristics of some of these people that came to him. It did not cause him to stand afar off. The Lord Jesus Christ was approachable. He sought them out as, well, at least in some cases, to honor them most when the rest of the world would, well, look upon them with as the offscouring of the earth. They would despise them. Well, it's certainly marvelous condescension here when the Lord Jesus Christ came here to benefit mankind. You get some of these characters like Mary Magdalene. You know the story of her, how that these demons occupied her very heart. You look at how the Pharisees looked upon these others, these tax collectors and these others that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he was much different, you see, than other men. And no wonder the Bible tells us that the Pharisees, they accused him. They kept accusing him of being a friend of publicans, a friend of sinners. His ministry only lasted, 3.5 years. That's not much. 3.5 years, you think, how much can you ever accomplish in 3.5 years? But look at the history of this man, this God-man. Yet his works stand forever. His works stand forever. There's no one else who made such a mark on earth as the Lord Jesus Christ. And all his motives, we don't have to question his motives here. All his motives were good. All his motives were perfect. All his motives here, as we look in the Bible, were very pure. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he went about doing good. And so there was not one single day, we can say, not one single day from the very first day of his ministry to the very last hour of his crucifixion where he did not engage in doing good to man. Even on the cross, he saved that dying thief. At the time of his pain, at the time of his being abandoned by the Father, there was time. There was time for this man, this thief, to be saved by his grace. And boy, did he ever do good to the bodies and souls of men. We read there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 5, verse number 4 and 5, Matthew 11, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isn't this doing good to others? The Lord Jesus Christ, this is the goodness of the Lord, you see. He himself went about doing good with his own hands. With his own hands, he went about doing good. And neither did he stay in one place. We don't read of him staying in one place that people might visit him. He himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, went about doing good. And I've already mentioned he went to this city and he went to that city. He went to towns and villages to help those that were in great darkness. We read of these stories not only in Jerusalem but throughout Galilee. And even his miracles were not performed just among a few people here and there, but all sorts of men with all sorts of conditions. He went about doing good. Peter, he testifies there in verse 38. Peter says there in verse number 38, he says, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice what he says here. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Peter is saying here, it's we, it's not just me, we as to all these disciples, he's referring to the disciples, we actually saw the good that he did. We saw with our eyes, and we saw him raise this little girl from the dead, the daughter of Jairus. We saw that. We saw that. We are witnesses to that. We saw that with our own hands, we saw him heal the lepers. We saw that. We can witness to that. We saw him cast out demons. We saw those that were foaming from the mouth and how just one word of his It would he would cast out these demons and restore mankind. We saw him open so many blind eyes. We saw blind Bartimaeus, who continually begged there. We saw him see again. We saw him see again. We saw him open the ears of the deaf. We saw where Mary and Martha leaped for joy when they saw Lazarus come out of the grave 4 days after he was dead. We saw it with our eyes. We were there when Lazarus came out of the grave, and not even death could stop his doing good even to others. Well, we read these stories all in the scriptures, you see. We talked about these famous men and how we're able to get information. Here we have all the information here of this God-man. And we read in scripture that he spent entire nights in prayer. And then in the morning he would go back again, and he would go back again doing good to others, back to his labors without any rest or even refreshments. Well, that's what I read in the scriptures. Some even thought he went a little bit overboard. They thought he went overboard in doing good to others. He deprived himself of food, doing good to others. And you see, some even thought that he went overboard, because we read there in Mark chapter 3, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, it says there, Mark chapter 3, verse 21, "And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself." Here is a man that's doing only good. Here is a man that's doing good to mankind, and they concluded that because of his zeal to do good to others, that he was beside himself. In other words, they said, this man is crazy here. That's what they said. His own friends said that. They wanted to take him home again from this work of doing good to others. We can say that everything that he did or said was to benefit mankind. He wept over sinners. He wept over Jerusalem, constantly preaching, constantly instructing the people, constantly doing good, proclaiming good news to mankind. And the Bible says that no man spake like unto him. Nobody spoke like unto him. He did good in all senses. And in the midst of all his labors, for the good of man, he was misunderstood. Remember the Pharisees, what they said? They conclude that he had a devil, or in confederacy, at least, with a devil. That's what they said. Now, we can turn it up. Maybe we should turn it up in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 22. Mark chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." In all his good actions, they labeled him with the reputation of being in affiliation with the devil, Beelzebub. Some called him an impostor, a blasphemer, yet he still went about doing good. He still went about doing good. That was his calling, you see. Healing and preaching and forgiving sin. And many times you find these ignorant people coming to him, and you know, he had time for them. He had time for them, and he instructed them in all the important doctrines and duties. The Bible says he taught them all. We read in Luke chapter 19, verse number 47, and it reads there in verse 47, "And he taught daily." He taught daily in the temple. "But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him." There he's teaching, and there's another crowd trying to destroy him. And then he also talks about him gathering the multitude, came to him and instructing them. And you find it all over the scriptures, you see, concerning the history. He also strengthened the weak, comforting all those that penitent, mourning, and he simply went about doing good, even to his enemies. Now, I know what you're saying. We can go on and on and on. We could do that this evening to confirm that Christ went about doing good. We can go on and on. We can go all night because the Bible is full of testimonies, of his labors and his malevolence. It's full. But there's something else I want to talk about as we close this evening, or at least my third point here, and that is, what was his real mission? Yes, we went about doing good. We saw what he did here, how that he healed the sick, and how that, they saw him as he went about doing good. But what was his real mission? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. Remember, we're looking at the history of this man, this God-man. We have it here in this book. He also had a mission. And he was the promised Messiah. And the promised Messiah, you see, was preached in the Old Testament by the prophets that he would come. And this is none other than the Messiah, because especially in his miracles, they pointed that he was truly the Messiah indeed. And he himself claimed it, because he appealed himself to his works, his doing good to others, and he appealed to his works as, here is evidence that I am he whom you're seeking. I am he. Tells us there in John 10, in one account, in John 10 and verse number 38, it says, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In other words, look at these works. Look at these works that I'm doing. Look at these credentials. Look at these proofs. Well, believe your own eyes. Believe your own eyes. Believe your own reason. I am sent from the Father. In fact, the Father, he says, dwells in me. The Father dwells in me. And so these very works, you see, these very works were precisely such as was predicted by all the prophets of old, as the characteristics here of the Messiah's reign, and therefore there was absolutely no doubt who he was. The apostle says he went about doing good. In the Old Testament, they said of how he would come and what he would do. And in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 4, it says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And besides his miracles, were of such as really no man could work unless God was with him. And these miracles were simply to confirm what he preached, the word of salvation. It was all confirm his preaching. His mission, therefore, was a mediator between God and man to recover and save all whom the Father had given to him. And Peter, he says there in Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and the apostle, he expresses that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. Isn't that not the main mission? Yes, he came, healed people and so forth, cast out demons and healed the lepers. But this is his real business, you see. This is what he really came to do, that he might bring us to God. How would he bring us to God? By his sacrifice. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, at verse number 14, Hebrews 10 verse 14, it reads, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see, here lies the hope of all peoples. Literally. Here's the hope right here. Here lies the hope of all believers. Had not Christ come in doing good? Had not Christ come in doing good and offering himself as a substitute? There would have been no such things for us as justification. There would have been no such thing. There would have been no such thing as adoption. There would have been no such thing as salvation and peace with God, no such thing as hope of glory, pardon of sin, divine acceptance. But no such thing. This is how the debt of sin is abolished by the virtue of his very sacrifice. How great is this mercy that by him all that believe are justified from all things. There's no better state, my friend. There's no better state that a human being could ever be in. This is a world of great woe. This is a world of sickness and disease, a world of death. There is no better state than a human being could be in than to have their sins forgiven. Nothing else beats it. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account, nothing beats this. There is no better comfort. There's no better happiness. And if you're a Christian today, I urge you this evening to look over all the good. Look over all the good that Christ has done for you, because they are innumerable. They are innumerable. We sing the hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Don't judge God by your circumstances. Some people say, oh, if the Lord was with me, I wouldn't have to go through this difficult time. Don't judge him by that. You judge God by Calvary. He died for your sins. This is because we're all going to go through difficulties in life. And if you keep saying, well, if things are going good for me, therefore the Lord is with me. Things are not going good, therefore the Lord is not with me. You're misjudging the whole concept here of Christianity altogether. Remember that you at one time were dead in sins and trespasses. You were completely lost, just like myself at one time. And we were in great darkness. It was the age of 22 when the light came to me and I understood. I was already condemned before that time. Bible says already condemned. We were enemies to God and to Christ. We had no care whatsoever for the very salvation of God. And on top of that, we were vile sinners, and much more. But yet, by his goodness and grace, by him doing good to us, we have been fully pardoned and freely, and no one else could do that good to us. Your own mother, your own father, your brother, sister, no man could do the good that the Lord Jesus Christ did to you. No man can do it. No angel. No angel could do you any good. The goodness that the Lord Jesus Christ did, because he removed the sin. He removed the sin from our souls. Only Christ can do that. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so he separated our sin. Now, I never thought as far as the east. Well, how far is the east and how far is the west? Well, it keeps going around in a circle, doesn't it? If this sacrifice does not interest you this evening, then I have to say that there is no hope. There is no hope if it doesn't interest you. If you say, well, I want nothing to do with God's Christ, then, my friend, it's going to be all woe, because this same book describes the condition that you are in and the worst condition that you will be in, because one day, well, we're all going to meet God. Whether you like it or not, we're all going to meet God. And if you meet him without the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's going to be no entrance. There's no entrance. There's no other name under heaven, the Bible says. Don't bother looking anywhere else. All the religions of this world are nothing. There's no other name written under heaven. That's why we have to consider, and that's why we have to be interested. We have to be interested in the sacrifice, and we have to be interested very quickly, because only Christ will be able to screen us, you see, from the wrath of God. And at this very moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is still able. He's left the scene of time, but he's still both able and willing to do good to us, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's still doing good. He's still doing good to us, and he still possesses that almighty power that he had here upon this earth. Nothing has changed. You read the book of Acts, and you will see that after he left this world, he still continued to do his miracles. He still continued to help mankind. He still continued to save the lost. And one day we read of 3,000 souls that came to him. Yes, he used the instrumentality of this, the instrumentality here of his apostles, but he still went about doing good. We read there in Acts chapter 9, and verse number 34. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 34, it says, "And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." He still went about doing good. Well, when the gospel is preached, he truly comes amongst us, doesn't he? He comes amongst us just as he did in the times of the apostles. He still comes. And why does he come? Why does he come amongst us? Why does the Lord Jesus Christ come amongst us? It's to do us good. He went about doing good. He's come to save. He's come to bless, to seek out the most miserable, the most unworthy objects that he may bestow blessings. And besides, all of us have access to him. We all have access to him. We can all pray. We could all tell him our concerns. And we could all obtain mercy at the throne of grace. And if you're not saved this evening, well, he's so good that you too can pray. You too can pray this evening and be heard. There is a prayer that you could pray this evening if you don't know him. The very first prayer you must pray before you'll hear all the other prayers. And that is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So good, the sinners. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And all we have to do really is by faith touch the hem of his garment. Remember the lady that touched the hem of his garment? She was healed. And then we shall find mercy as well. He will do us good. One final thought as we conclude. Every Christian, if you're a Christian this evening, you must resemble the Lord Jesus Christ in doing good. There's no two ways about it. Now, there are certain things, of course, that the Lord did, certain things that the Lord said, which is not for us to do and which is not for us to say. There are certain things that belong to him because they were particular there to his office as Messiah. Yet he did do things for the purpose that we might imitate him. And if we say that we're Christians, if we name his name, well, we're going to have to be like him. We're going to have to be like him. You say, well, how can we be like him? Well, there is a verse there in 1 John. In 1 John and verse 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, this is what it says. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Let me read that again. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." We're to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in going about doing good. And besides, the Bible does tell us on Judgment Day, everyone will be judged according to his works, whether he's done good or whether he's done bad. And if we truly abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to resemble him in righteousness and also in true holiness. Look at the meekness of the Lord. We are to resemble him in his meekness and patience, forbearance and love. Well, let us approve ourselves as true believers of Christ by our resembling him in the whole spirit and mind and conduct. May it be said of us, may it be said of us, of others, that they went about doing good. How great it would be that the people, we would be known as, here is a people that have gone about doing good, especially in the preaching of the gospel. Here's a people that cared for sinners. Here's a people that went about doing good. May God bless his word this evening to our hearts. May the Lord encourage us, especially to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing hymn number 692. 692 as we close, 692. 692, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. My friend, he's still doing good. The Lord Jesus Christ in our day, he's still doing good. Amongst the chaos in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ has not stopped doing good. He still saves and he still comes to bless his people. 692 will stand and make this our closing hymn. Remain standing for a closing prayer. Our Father and our God, we do rejoice for the scriptures of truth. We thank Thee, our Father, that this is none other than the word of the living God. We thank Thee for the history of this book, and it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee from the very book of Genesis right to the book of Revelation. It's all about this God-man. We do rejoice that we know Him. We do thank Thee, our Father, that we've seen Him with the invisible. We've seen Him, our Father, by faith. And we do rejoice that we are still able to see the goodness that the Lord does to His people. We thank Thee that Thou art a great God, not only a good God, but a great God indeed. And we do rejoice that we're able to see the goodness of God even in our very lives. And our Father, we do pray for others this evening, perhaps others that are sitting on the fence, others that care not for their own souls. We ask of Thee, our Father, that Thou would commence that great work of grace whereby they too would see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good indeed. Be with us, dismiss us in Thy blessing, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.